to the Adventures of Danny and Mike. To my right, Mr. Danny Tamburelli.
You're to my left. Okay, so it makes sense.
And to his whatever, Mr. Michael C. Marona.
Stuck over here on the end.
And my name is Jeremy. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode. We're so excited. Our guest is a critically acclaimed stand-up comedian. She has a new podcast out called The Schaefer Shakedown, which is, the trailer is incredible. You should go listen to it. If you're an OG fan like me, she was on Nikki and Sarah Live on MTV and was a big fan then. And she has a new memoir coming out called Grand in August. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Sarah Schaefer.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hey.
Great news. The memoir was out last August, and I need to update something.
Update.
I'll take that right out. You have so much stuff. I was looking at the website, and there's just you're so busy.
Yeah, well, when you spread that out over 20 years.
Well, we have that problem as well.
Okay. Yeah.
There's been some downtime.
There have been some periods of rest.
Michael and I know it all too well.
Fallow times. There have been fallow times. It's true.
I mean, most people on the internet think they're both dead, so it's like bonus to even be here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, beyond the grave.
Yes, yeah. But thank you so much for hanging. And I've been a fan for a while. I've, you know, watched your stuff. And I think we're friends through Edmund Hawkins, who is a gentle soul and a beautiful human being.
He really is.
And
and both you and Michael are Twitter trailblazers. And I respect and admire both of you for that.
Yeah, I'm a Twitter trailblazer. Always one step ahead, you know? I barely use it anymore. Everybody else get on board.
They expect you. Right. They expect you, but not expect you.
Yeah. But what does that mean? You mean you guys were on earlier than everybody else?
Maybe.
Or
maybe you guys were on for... No, I meant mostly like you guys are still like... You guys are shooting it. And so trailblazing was the wrong word. Like, I don't think that was correct. No, not trailblazing, but you know, I meant like you're blazing people up, you know. I like that you don't give a shit about other people's reactions, and you speak
propriety
and truths, and
I do sometimes,
and it's refreshing as hell.
I do that a lot less now, because I got harassed too much and needed to put pause on. Things that I knew, I figured out what certain topics, whenever I would talk about them, what would bring the worst harassment. Sadly, it's comedy, the thing that I do for a living.
Yeah.
Whenever I express opinions about comedy is when I got the worst stuff. Mm. So I just kind of stopped engaging in that, but I'll talk about other things. I just, certain things I'm like, it's not worth the same old merry-go-round, and like people, you know, being so mean, and I'm not changing anybody's minds really on Twitter. It's part of why I started my new podcast, is because I did want to talk shit about comedy, but I wanted to do it in a way that was a little more like human
structured.
For those who haven't heard the teaser, you should go listen. But it's for my girlfriend and I just laughed our asses off because it's like you're a monster truck announcer, and I love it, and I love the idea, and I can't wait to hear it. But yeah, so you should go listen to that.
Yeah,
but
it's gonna be real edgy.
Yeah, but so you lived here for a long time, right? When I didn't realize you moved to LA.
By here he means our basement studio,
our beloved Brooklyn, New York.
Thank you for letting me out. Finally,
The chain and cuff marks are finally going away.
Yeah, I can lift my arms now.
Right. Yeah. People who worked on Saw sequels and how they've gotten by after that.
Yeah. You know, I moved to New York in October 2001, which was a weird time to move to New York.
A little bit. That's when I was moving out of New York. Yeah.
Yeah. I was already planning on coming, and then shit hit the fan, and people were like, "You're not going to New York, are you?" And I was like, "Well, they've already attacked New York, so."
Yeah.
Probably
do the math there.
It's probably fine.
Yeah.
So you better watch your back, Detroit. You better watch your back.
Yeah. So I went to New York in 2001 and then was there until 2014.
I guess I didn't realize, but, and now you're out in this, I just bring it up because the last four guests have been California folk, and I guess since the pandemic hit, so easy to get people to just pop in. So thank you. We love it and we miss it.
Yeah. I'm, LA at first felt, you know, because I know in New York and when the pandemic hit was so, I was like, oh my God, I can't imagine, or I was imagining still living there. And I, you know, talking to my friends that live there, I was like, gosh, that is so much more stressful than what I was experiencing, I think. Cause we had like, you know, you at least had more outdoor space. Most people don't live in, most people I know at least didn't live in like high rise apartments where you're sharing elevators and things like that. Whereas here just things were a little more spread out, but then we had our kind of surge in the fall leading into January and February, right. And it was really bad here. And we were like, we're not going anywhere. We were kind of feeling comfortable just to like run into the grocery store here and there. But by that time we were like, we're not going in. I know a guy who got it from like going to Guitar Center. And he had a mask on because it was like so contagious. And they were saying basically in LA at some point, they were like, you need to assume that every person you encounter has it. Because it was that like living, many.
I feel like living in LA, you trade the stress of New York for the overlay of like at any time there could be an earthquake that shifts everything sideways. You know what I mean? You have that hanging over you the whole time.
Yeah.
Like you're not necessarily gonna be stabbed, you know what I mean, or mugged right away, even though there's, you know, crime everywhere all over the world. It's not one way or another. But yeah, I feel like in LA you have that extra, like you deserve it, whatever, because you have this extra stress level. You should be relaxed.
Well, I felt like after living in New York for so long, I was like, I need a fucking break. I need space and laundry in my apartment and, you know, things you don't realize, like, unless you grew up in New York, in which case everything in New York is normal to you. But if you didn't grow up in New York and then you moved there, you become sort of worn down and accustomed to certain ways of living that when you leave, you look back and you're like, why did I tolerate that for so long? Yeah. But I, when I go back to New York now, I'm like overwhelmed with nostalgia and just like the experiences I had there. So much life was lived and every block has some memory that's so almost so overwhelming. Like, it's almost like I get really tired after 4 or 5 days in New York now because I'm just experiencing memory so much and like going around and then I want to come home to my safe little.
This was fun. That's how I feel about Las Vegas.
That's a good duration.
Get out. Don't worry about it.
That's a good duration of stay.
As I hear sirens in the background.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They're coming.
I live off the parkway.
We get helicopters. There is a lot of helicopter action.
Yeah, you've traded cop cars for helicopters.
Where like your house is shaking and you're like, oh, what is it? Is traffic. It a car chase?
Yeah, traffic
it's
or car chase.
Mostly a car chase.
Mm. There are so many car chases in LA. It's unreal. But yeah.
Yeah, my big thing about, well, the thing about that's sticking in my head right now about LA is that I've been watching a lot of Scientology documentaries. And so I always have to ask about that because it's so prevalent out there and they're buying up all the fucking land. I don't know. It's just a weird question.
You think they're going to go farming it, Jeremy?
No, I think they're going to create brainwashing stations or whatever they do.
Oh, they have build on it. Okay.
They do.
It's like a hand wash station, but.
But. Right. The brain.
Instead, it's a building that you go into and give up your life.
It's like that's why they did all the, you know, the outdoor COVID testing like that. So they're just getting, it's all funded by Scientology. And it's the whole thing is just like, now we've created the infrastructure and we know how to do it.
Yeah, no, there's...
Here, let me stick this up your nose real quick. Here, look in this light. Bam, now you're a Scientologist.
Yeah, since I moved here, this big Scientology, like, media center, studios, fancy, like, production studios.
On, on Sunset, right?
Yeah, popped up, and it was like, what? Some of their buildings are kind of imposing and frightening. When you, like, you come around a corner, you're like, oh! There it is.
Among the general architecture of Sunset Boulevard?
Yeah, like in Silver Lake, there's in Los Feliz, there's a few buildings, and, you know, one is this really tall blue thing that's very frightening. You know, you just come around a corner and you're like, that is what's happening in there. And in one of the Scientology documentaries, I can't remember which one, there was a side story about a woman who had, been like taken into this blue building, and they kept showing the outside of it. And so now every time I look, I'm like, there's a woman in there. She's trapped.
Let her out.
The guy who did all the architecture for Scientology, was a consultant on The Handmaid's Tale for all of their buildings.
You know what? Wait, are you for real?
No, but I mean, like, that's how I...
Because you know Elizabeth Moss is a Scientologist.
Oh.
The main star. Well, at least as far as I know, she was. I don't know if she currently still is, but you never know.
Well, I wish I had a better poker face to be like, yeah, 100%. That's crazy.
You want to go deep on Scientology. There's this one video on YouTube that John Hodgman showed me. And it's like 30 minutes, and it's a sort of infomercial kind of introductory video into one of their Flagler, you know, like one of their buildings, communities in Florida.
Oh, yeah. The-
and it's talking about like what happens when you go there. And the language is so, they're using all these terms that you don't even know what they mean. They're like, when you're moving up the ladder at Flagler, you're going to find, you know, like, and. It's and we're gonna take the crystal bridge, and then
you're going into space.
And they're showing, and the graphics are really, and all the people, like, you know, it's like just like blink twice if you need help, kind of stuff. And it is. I started watching it, and I was like, we were at a party, like a small house party, and he turned it on, and everyone, like, you know, you could barely get a word in because people were commenting on every single thing they were seeing. But then later I went back and like watched it by myself so I could hear everything and study it, because it was so surreal.
And that's the quality they're making in LA now. They have a whole studio for it. Yeah.
Right. That's there's also a certain nostalgia to it, because it had like an early 2000s vibe. Mm-hmm. Late 90s vibe to it in the quality.
You're trying to say I can't hardly wait vibe. That's what you're trying to say.
Yeah, yeah. There's a wow.
That was used to be one of my favorite movies, for the record. I mean, maybe
what
I
happened,
still
Jeremy?
I
what
love
happened?
It. It's you a great movie, what top happened? To bottom. Top to bottom. It's a great teen movie. I don't know.
You
maybe
can walk around with ski goggles on your forehead, and there's no snow around.
Right.
You've made it.
Yes,
you've made it.
If you're the people making out in the bathroom at the party, you made it.
My Halloween costume this past year was hastily thrown together at the last second. I think I texted you guys some pictures. Oh, there's the ice. Oh, it's summertime. And it consisted of a Mets jersey and some goggles. And I think I was a fish of some kind, because I was wearing camouflage tights. So I think I was a fish from the waist down, but they left these awful forehead hickeys, and I have a lot of real estate up here to work with for the goggles.
You still haven't revealed what you were.
Yeah,
I can't. I made it. I had a funny pun at the time. It was like a pun on the new ownership. Steve Cohen had just moved in and bought the Mets. Like,
oh, so it was like an inside seconds. Sports joke.
Yeah, it was exactly.
Big fish, small pond.
No. It was like
just working with something here. I don't know.
Nope. It was some kind of dumb fish. It was some kind of dumb fish name. Mm. I might have it in the group text.
Should have done the Seth Green Can't Hardly Wait. I mean, it sounds like you had the pieces there. Missed an opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway. Wow. Anywho.
Wow.
Wow. That threw me off. Sorry. Yeah.
Bangs. Yeah. So on the subject of bangs.
Anyway, what's your Halloween costume? What are you going to go for Halloween this year, Mike?
Oh, gosh. There's a lot of time.
Start planning now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
make sure you let Sarah know, too.
I like doing a group costume with my son. That was fun. But he kind of like threw me off this year, and I couldn't get into. He was a purple sandcastle cup, which is like something that he uses to make sandcastles at the beach with. So it's just like a purple cup. So I didn't have much to work with.
How
there.
Old is he?
4.5.
Okay.
Like he's 24. Yeah.
This is actually a big red solo cup, and he just.
It's really not too early to ask him what he wants to be for Halloween this year, but I have a feeling it might be one of his animation faves, and that in itself produces a few challenges. Mm-hmm. That calls for some serious challenges, actually. It's some like daddy bringing cardboard home from work.
Yeah.
I mean,
I believe in you.
Thank you.
I'll make sure
to over order tape.
I always come up with like a really brilliant Halloween costume in like August, and then I don't write it down and I can't remember. And I forget completely, and I'm too lazy to figure it out. I rarely have had really, really great Halloween costumes.
Hmm. I'm always so psyched about it. And then I never dress up and I never do anything. Yeah. Yeah. I have great ideas.
Let's make it different this year, Jeremy. Let's do it. Let's make a pact. 6 months Halloween from now, party. let's have rockin' Halloween costumes.
Right. Well, I'll do what I do every year, and I put on Adidas sweatpants, and I put on a zip up that's the same, it's matching, and I can either be like it's a tracksuit. Exactly. Yeah. Look, I'm running on 3.5 hours of sleep, man. My son is waking up at midnight and sleeping in bed with us till 6 a.m. I'm not here for this.
Oh, I got
He's
you.
He's living high life.
My brain is trying. I'm trying so
hard. He's living high life.
It's not fair. Yeah. You give him an inch and he takes a mile. That's what I'm learning, these damn kids.
You also have a painful liver today, apparently, is what you told me. So that's a whole other thing that's, you know, stacking up against you. So,
yeah. I don't know. We got one of those water rowers. Have you ever seen those with the actual water inside?
No, sounds like fun.
Yeah, well, you know, we spent some of that stimulus money to do something healthy, and I might have like pulled a muscle up here, it's my liver. I don't know.
Break this down. What is that? What is it? Is it in your bathtub?
It's a rower. No,
it's a rowing machine, but it uses water.
To create
water to make the resistance.
There's like a big tub. So there's a wheel in there, and so you get the water resistance, and it's actually like it makes me zenned out because that sound, when you get into like the actual like rhythm of it, like you zone out and like 30 minutes go by and I just hit 5K and I'm like,
you're teaching Alfie about like ancient machines at the same time.
I've never seen one.
I imagine that it has those like scoops, like a paddle wheel that just keep like scooping up the water. It is.
It's exactly like that, but it's sideways. It goes sideways. But I haven't put it down in front of the kid because I don't want him to go nuts over it.
This is something you get inside of?
It's like a long, it's called Water Rower, if you'd like to.
Is it like
a brand that we don't need?
But it has.
It's like a stationary rower, but instead of just having like tension that you use, there's an actual like tub that you fill with water that creates natural resistance and it makes the sound.
You can give birth at the same time. That's why it's natural.
Look, the last time I spent over $1,000 on a product, it was a guitar.
Oh,
okay, like I paid $1,200
for a Peloton. It wasn't a Peloton.
Yeah, I see.
No,
one.
Those are like $3,000.
Make a rower.
They do. They do make a rower.
I'm surprised they're not in every space now. They're going to move into
old-fashioned
laundry machines. They crank. Crankers.
Apparently, it's on sale at the MoMA Design Store. I don't know why they sell it, but
I saw that.
Yes, that's pretty cool. Exactly. Has water in it. Yeah,
That's awesome.
It's very cool. We've been watching this show on Netflix called 10% or Call My Agent. I guess is the American version, a French show about agents. in France and their whole movie and TV industry, and it's really fun to watch. And I'm not like the best foreign TV watcher because subtitles get me, and I'm usually eating, so I'm looking.
What, you like the rowing machine?
No, but there was a scene. There was a scene where this agent was in with this hotshot director, and they were like having an argument while he's rowing on the same thing that we have. And I'm like, all right, we did it.
Yeah.
We made it.
Yeah. It's a little okay. Yeah.
Do you feel like you're using it enough to justify the purchase? Because we bought a treadmill and it's like a coat rack.
We've had it for 2 weeks, and I've used it every day until it broke on Tuesday.
I think we could take it to Comic-Con. The $1,200
piece of equipment broke. The seat,
I think we could bronze it and take it to Comic-Cons and take it to Steampunk Alley.
Well, I mean, there's a one-of-a-kind ass suite.
One-of-a-kind?
What's an ass suite?
Yeah, because it's broken. Now I can throw it out, but now I'll just sign it with some gray Sharpie marker and put it on, you know... No, eBay.
Let's fix it and then row for charity at
No, I'm getting a new one. I'm getting a new one. Sarah needs to get a new Zoom too, because that you've only had it for a couple of weeks. I only have mine for a couple of weeks. They're already sent stuff to me.
So there you go.
We can if you need me to handle it, I'm the one that handles all the customer service stuff in the family. No, nobody else wants to ever use the phone to talk to another human being about getting anything. Except for me. So I can get you whatever you want. My mom calls me. My mother-in-law calls me to do stuff. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I have no backbone.
No, you have no, you don't have a day job. That's why. They assume that you're liquid. You are their Fiverr. You're their Fiverr.
My wife works 9 to 5, and I'm a fucking dad.
You're a dad.
All day long.
It is a job.
I feel like in my life, I've become, for many people, and I guess I should take it as a compliment, but it is really annoying, that I'm Google. You know, they're like, hey, I'm working on this thing. Do you think that blah, blah, blah is a, you know, like some ingredient is an allergen or, you know, just asking me things. And I'm like, I don't know. And you could have Googled that. In the whole time that it took for us to go through this,
I see that all the time. There's a local, my hometown is like 1,000 people or 1,200 people. It's very small in Ohio. And you'll see people post like, how do I Google, you know, the same exact thing basically, where it's like they could have spent the time instead of posting, just searching for it. But
if you just copy and pasted what you were looking for into Google in the first place.
Exactly. But maybe.
Well, so here, there is. I'm really into miniatures and dollhouses, and I build stuff, and I'm kind of new to some of the more advanced stuff with it, and I'm in like 8 different dollhouse Facebook groups. The only reason I use Facebook, and people tend to gather on Facebook, you know, not on other platforms.
I feel like we just figured out your next podcast, dollhouse people.
I will go to them. I'll Google something, but when I'm overwhelmed by either the choices or just not getting what I need, I'll go to the Facebook group and say, does anyone have a method for making this type of thing, miniature or whatever? Mm-hmm. And that can be very helpful.
Spawns threads.
Yeah, you're going straight to the real experts instead of like, you know, because some stuff when you Google it, they don't know that you're talking about dollhouses, you know, so you're getting all full-sized advice.
Well, Best Buy has the VCR.
Oh, you need to go get some of that MDF.
Yeah.
Yeah. MDF.
No way. That's toxic. Even if you cut it with a little saw, that's still toxic.
What got you started into that, Sarah? Was that a pandemic thing, or have you been doing it?
I've got one right here. I've got miniatures in every little area. It's a miniature dollhouse.
Okay. Whoa.
Hey, small dollhouse.
I've been collecting miniatures since I was a kid, and like not just dollhouse stuff, but like little figurines and things, and I have little shelves that I would put stuff on. And then I had a dollhouse when I was young. And then I've just done things with the miniatures sometimes. Like I did like a little series on my Instagram with the miniatures. And then it kind of graduated to during the pandemic this past fall, I moved to a new neighborhood in LA, and I have at my new place, I have access to like a garage and a lot of like tools and space. And I've had my my childhood dollhouse, carried it with me everywhere I've moved over the years. And it was huge. And I finally fixed it up, renovated it, and then I donated it to somebody. But once I got into that, I was like addicted. I've always been into crafts and things, but nothing activates every single part of my brain the way that that does. You know, it's like, I'm addicted to it fully now. I have like two projects going. I'm like obsessed.
It's very cool that you were able to pass on the thing that reactivated it for you too, your childhood, you know, like an heirloom, but something that's, emotionally significant to you like that. And
I don't have my own children. And, I just felt like that dollhouse would make a little girl very happy. So through some help, I found a family in LA that, you know, it was actually kind of challenging because some people, you want to help someone in need, but you also need someone with stable housing because my sister works with people who are experiencing homelessness. And she was saying, like, if you give the house to a girl who, or any child who, or family,
it's going to be one of the first things to go when they get displaced.
And that you can traumatize children unintentionally by like giving them something. And it doesn't mean like that. It sucks. Cause it's like, they deserve.
Hi everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi: People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes. It's sort of the, get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
An elaborate dollhouse just as much as anybody else. But so we found a family that was like, I felt really... just the perfect candidate, you know, she was the age that I was when I got my dollhouse, and her mom, I believe, during non-pandemic times would run a small daycare out of their home as well. And so I was like,
Heck, all right.
So, you know, in the future, there'll be other children who can come and play with this. And, you know, I gave it to them and I was like, you don't have to be careful with it. You can try. It's yours now. Play with it. Like, you know, people are like, but a lot of people, because I was posting online, like trying to find the right family and organization to work with or whatever. And a lot of people had a lot of opinions about who I should give it to. And they were like, kids are going to destroy it. And it's like, I'm like, I don't care. Like it was given to me when I was 8 and I didn't destroy it. I mean, yeah, I broke pieces of furniture, but I repaired them as an adult. Like it was precious to me. Like, I don't know what, you know, so it was very fulfilling. And now I'm deep. Now I'm so deep. It's beyond. It's crazy the amount of.
If you like to go deep on dollhouses, let us know at 347-470-8150. The Danny Mike hotline.
If you miss hobby shops,
temporarily be turned over to miniature housing.
That's what
Sarah, I have one question.
Yes.
About giving it away, because it is such like a personal thing to you. Were you also looking to see if that person will be the person that when you die and ultimately your spirit is connected to that piece that you could be cool with, like hanging
haunting,
out?
Haunting.
No, not haunting. No, not haunting. No. Yeah. Spiritually, spiritual playing. It's not, it's, you know, unless the kid was a shit and broke stuff.
We call that the Beetlejuice conundrum. Yeah. Yeah.
I have had a couple of dreams that I'm in my dollhouse.
Really?
Like that I'm dollhouse sized in the dollhouse, but mainly I have dreams that I'm full sized working on a dollhouse. So I feel like your dreams might be a clue to where your spirit would go. So it's unclear.
I'm out. Well, that's good. That's the best of both worlds. Yeah. You can flip through, pop, come down when you want to, you know, fully attached, but
yeah. One of the, projects I'm working on now is from a kit, which means you get all the pieces of wood for the shell of the house, but that's it. You don't even get windows or doors. Like, you do everything else, the siding, everything, but you just get the shell. And I'm building that and customizing it. And I'm trying to create like my dream cottage, you know, and that's where I'll go when I'm dead.
That's your urn. Yeah.
The dollhouse from when I was little was like kind of not my style as an adult. So I, you know, this is going to be 100% my dream, and it's going to have electricity. Like, it's really, I'm going
podcast
really,
room.
Really
oh far. Yeah, you got to electrify it. You got to electrify it if you're serious. I get it.
Some people do
plumbing. Mike works in electric, so he can help. Some people do plumbing.
It's really, I think it, really? Yeah, I.
You just blew Jeremy's mind, really? Old man.
Yeah, you you can do like basic things where I think you can turn on a sink and a little bit of water comes out, but it's like a limited amount. And like,
Legos are getting up to the part where they can just like chew food now. They have make a mouth that actually chews food.
Oh, you know what? Yeah. That's actually great. Those little Lego pieces have those like long connectors that are hollow. Yeah. That looks like just the right size for like an actual little pipe. Look at that.
I remember as a kid, I was psyched that the train, you could just put a little 10-in-1 oil in and it would smoke. I thought that was the coolest thing ever.
Which I guess you could do to a chimney. Places like where they can put incense into the fireplace and smoke comes out the top of the house. I've been thinking about something like that.
I miss hobby shops. We like that. I would go. I mean, that was our thing. Like, we would go get model rocket building supplies because I loved model rockets. And I used to get them for every niece and nephew. And then they were just like, what the fuck is this? I want an iPad. But like,
it's such a thin line.
Yeah. Yeah. But I love it. I love going into hobby shop. It smells like Tester's glue everywhere. And like, it's just great.
Who's glue?
Tester's. Tester's is the model glue company.
Who's Tester's?
I don't know. They make paint for models. Yeah. And glue that we used to sniff.
Now interesting. We're really coming
interesting. Yeah, yeah.
Now
those rockets, they flew.
The real reason your dad was taking you to the hobby shop.
Yeah, right.
You didn't want to show anyone that he was sniffing glue and just walk around.
I just need 5. I'll be in the bathroom.
5.
Somebody get this tube of
Sarah. There's a dollhouse at my wife's parents' house. That's my wife that she's had forever and ever. And they have these little tiny, you know, there's miniature stuff in there. And whenever we leave there, I do dirty things to the little miniatures that are in there, and I leave them on the bed for her mom.
That's what I call it my tableau. Yeah, that's what. So growing up, my sister and I,
you know, why not?
Sister and I had, she had a dollhouse too. We were very lucky. We were very fortunate in our early years. Read my book if you want to find out what happened. It all went to shit.
That came out last August. Sorry.
In our early years, we both had dollhouses, and we would like, we called it, do you want to play tableau? And we called it tableau.
Really?
That's cool. Very,
and we would
very
both
smart.
Make as funny of a scene as we possibly could in each in the dollhouses using the things we had, and like the scenes we would make were really silly. Like, I mean, we were little kids, so it was like the humor was grandpa's in the bathroom and the rest of the family is dead outside of the door. <'cause it smells laughs> <like that. laughs> And then there was like an explosion, like things have been scattered, like, you know, we've
that's still funny.
Yeah, it's part of why I think I like I like dollhouses, because it's storytelling essentially, and like, you know, you tell a story with the scenes that you make. And I have a couple things in the works that will hopefully expand my world of dollhouses to like a bigger audience, but we'll see.
How about the movie Hereditary? Did you watch that?
Obsessed. Okay, so horror is my favorite genre, and I love that filmmaker. And so when I saw the trailer for Hereditary, I was like, ooh, this is going to be one that I love. I can tell. It's scary. It looks scary. It's great actors. I love the look of it. Let's go. So we go to the movie theater to see it, and the opening scene, to my surprise, includes dollhouses. And Scott, my husband, was like, looked over, and he said my face was like glowing with delight. And I was like, and it was really like, if a scary movie isn't very scary, I get like pissed. Like, I want it to be I want it to traumatize me. Like, I want it to be really scary.
I demand.
Yeah. Like, that movie had it all. It was so fucking good.
I'm going to screen share this, but I was looking for a clip of the movie, but they also, somebody apparently makes, horror dollhouses, which is a fucking great idea.
Yeah,
that's Amityville
whole sub-genre.
House. Yeah, that's the Amityville Horror House.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. I mean, the dollhouse world is really, it's kind of like an unspoken fandom. Some people call them miniacs, but like, and it's, you know.
I love that.
Yeah. but it's
animated,
funny, like, some of the groups I'm in on Facebook, you know, I can see the rivalries rising. Like, some people will go, you know, anybody can stage a dollhouse, but not everybody can build miniatures, you know, like they start getting snobby. Like, so there's a lot of like snobbery about like, oh, I built every single thing in here that you see versus I just bought them,
right,
you know, online.
You could organize a union based on that, I think. I know. Distinction.
But my thing is, the test is, if I take a picture of a room I've been working on and I post it or send it to someone and they can't tell it's miniature, that's when you've won. That is when you have achieved.
That's peak dollhouse. Yeah.
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 Very cool.
There's certain giveaways, like fabric is usually like a big giveaway in scale, like curtains and sheets, because fabric in miniature does not behave. You know, you're using like life-size fabric. On a bed, it's not going to look, you know, so it's really easy to screw that up. And it's also why I don't like using dolls or anything, because the dolls give it away, you know.
Right.
Yeah. So now,
as opposed to really small humans, what do you mean?
It's really hard to find 6-inch humans, but
oh, we got some. Yeah,
I'm in one group. It's very secret.
You might want to check the group just to make sure it is about dollhouses. You know what I mean? Like, you just never know what you stumble into.
Why does the back end of this say .gov?
Why do I keep getting contacted by Q?
Q is exactly a 6-inch human being. No, but why you just Oh, I just spaced. But you, basically the, what did you just say? I'm sorry, I'm spacing out.
About dolls.
No, you're talking, you got it.
I don't love using dolls in my right. dollhouse stuff. I mean, there's some really good ones that people will make. Some very, uh-huh. nowadays, like there's a whole world of dolls. I mean, in my mind, action figure, because my husband is really into collecting and he does action figures of different sizes and stuff. And he, you know, some of the newer action figures are so realistic looking. Like they get the face, they get it right. Mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. it looks like a very realistic portrayal of a person.
Of an Asian Scarlett Johansson.
Yes. And it just goes to show you, she's the most gifted actor of our
time. Yeah.
Yep. truly protean. Yeah. Truly protean.
No, I just wonder, since Danny was using his for, you know, creating scenes of sexual havoc, I just thought maybe you know. As you said, you did it as a kid. I guess you just do empty houses then now. Because
there's stuff in them.
You can use dolls for stuff. Like I have some idea. Like when I finished my childhood dollhouse, the renovation, I did a live tour mm-hmm. of it, and I raised money for a couple of different orgs, and I had a doll that I would like put on camera and be mm-hmm. like, you know, pretending to be the woman who owned the house and right. stuff, and that was really fun. So I'm thinking about doing. I have a little secret project on the side right now that might involve some dolls.
I hope it involves a custom Sarah action figure, 6-inch action
right,
figure.
You're right.
I'm just saying.
Whoever
they make
makes
them.
Those, I know they're expensive.
Yeah, but
if you do custom action figure fabrication, let us know at 347-470-8150.
We'll pass it along to Sarah.
DannyandMike.com with the N spelled out. With the N spelled
but
out.
But I need it in 1/12 scale.
Oh, 1/12.
This would be like a 6-inch figure. That's kind of the world we're working in here.
So what are the Facebook chat? What's the Facebook chatter on using 3D printers? Is that a no-no?
People love them.
Mm. Oh, they do?
People,
oh, okay.
Yeah,
oh,
a lot of
interesting.
People have them.
Okay.
They
of,
love.
Of course, it's better than paying like $5 for a fork.
No, but isn't that like.
Yeah,
but if there's like the old school of people like actually creating these tiny things having the schematics to put into a computer to get your what you're looking for.
Yeah, I mean,
quickly.
I think part of it is different things are suited better for a 3D printer. So, like, I'm very new to even the concept of 3D printing, sort of makes me feel sick to my stomach, but thinking about it because it's so confusing to me. But some things like food. You know, I'm starting to learn how to make miniature food, and it's like a lot of it is clay that then is baked, but that there's so many little ways that you can make something look realistic and give it texture and stuff like that. And those are like details that I'm not 100% sure that 3D printers can do as well. Mm. But certain things I think people have found. I mean, my big want right now, my big wish list is a mini table saw.
Ooh.
Which is not dollhouse size. It's like about, you know, this big, but it's right. perfect for cutting small pieces of wood perfectly straight, so that if you're making furniture, it's really, really handy to have.
I feel like the Dremel would be the tool of choice for dollhouse building.
You gotta get a Dremel.
Gotta get sponsored.
I've been looking into Dremels and tiny table saws.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
I think a Dremel and a clamp to hold it there would do the job for you. Right.
Yeah,
I don't normally say thank you pandemic often, but I feel like you've been blessed with this.
It is. I've been very lucky.
I think a lot of indoor kids have been blessed that way. People have, but also outdoor kids have been able to do it. It's just that some activities have been limited.
Well, not in New York. They took all when they told everyone to stay inside at the beginning of all this. And people were still playing basketball. They went around to all city parks and took all the rims out so people could not play basketball. So.
They did that here too.
Well,
that's why we can't have nice things.
Yeah. I did just find this spot. I Googled it, which we talked about earlier. It's very easy to do. The custom 1/6 scale Pee Wee Herman.
talking 112. Yeah. She said
that was a custom job.
112.
Oh, 112.
1/6 is half scale, and that's like Barbie.
Okay. Okay.
Can't do it.
Gotcha.
Can't do it.
Well, I tried. I was trying to help.
I don't want to leave that much to chance.
I'm a size queen. Okay. Yeah. It's got to be the right scale.
It has to make sense. Yeah. No, I get it. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. When I, you know.
Who needs that when you can get the actual one on your own?
There he is.
There you go.
That's life size, though.
This is like, yeah, this is exactly how tall Paul Rubens is. Yeah.
I love that.
Anyway,
Pee Wee Herman.
That is just my humble brag of the podcast.
Okay. You know, we've all got our toys.
Yeah.
Look, here's mine. Yay!
And if you don't understand what's going on, join our Patreon. That's where you can see the video of this and see what we're doing.
I just had my tits out, so you got to join the Patreon if you want to see them.
If you'd like to complain about Sarah's tits, let us know at 347-470-8150.
Oh my God, just.
That's terrible.
You said get your toys out.
Right or wrong, fair is fair. Billie Jean.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, we are coming towards the end here, so to speak. That's gross. Do you have any plugs that you... I mean, I plug stuff in the beginning, but if you have anything else you want to like...
Yeah, I mean, my new podcast is called The Schaefer Shakedown. Any day now it's going to be officially launched. We're having a delay with one of the platforms, Apple. Thanks a lot.
They're screwed up right now. Yeah, big time.
Yeah, and they're delayed for some reason, and so I don't want to fully launch until I'm on all the major places. And it's me talking a lot about my hobbies and opinions about those things, but in a really no holds barred, in your face kind of way. So
Sunday.
I'm turning my chair around and I'm sitting backwards.
Yeah.
I have to put a hat on now and go backwards. All right, I'm ready. Let's go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just turned into a yoga.
Crochet on a miniature scale. Who knew?
I want
Let's talk. Let's wrap.
No, the other way.
Let's wrap. One on one here.
If you're looking for blue tableaus, you can come to my way if you like.
What is tableau? I don't get the reference.
Tableau is like when you set up a scene.
It's a French word for a certain kind of painting.
Yeah, it's like
Okay.
You know, you look at a scene and everything's like frozen in time, kind of like a scene is what I would call it. I don't know.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't coin the phrase tableau. I thought I did. It turns out I was wrong.
I think the game Tableau is amazing. I think the game Tableau is amazing.
It's a graphic description or representation. There you go.
The only problem is if you leave that Tableau up that's dirty like that, I also have nephews that have gone into that room and been horrified by, you know, sometimes there's a Groucho Marx in there and these 69 and he's Lucille Ball.
Groucho Marx is known for 69, and I don't know if you guys know that, but
that was his thing.
That's why he got him in trouble.
70 and 71 and 72 and 73
and. Boy. All right. We are a part of the Last Podcast Network. Check them out, lastpodcastnetwork.com. for all their great shows. We have a Patreon, as someone said, patreon.com/DannyandMike with the and spelled out. You can find Danny at DTamborelli on the twits. Stop shaking your head, please. And on the Instagrams at Danny Tamborelli. Michael C is at Michael C Morono on the Twitter. He will gladly speak to you on that platform in a civil, calm form, if possible. And my name is Jeremy. I'm at Jeremy Balin on the Instagram. Check out my other podcast called Going Dork about oddities. And our last one was about UFOs in America. So, yeah, he probably should listen to it. Just saying.
They're here.
Yeah, they're coming. I'm telling you, in the next month, they're going to make an announcement. We have alien life. Quote me on this right now. Say it's May 1st. So by June 1st, the government's going to tell us that they've found wreckage back in the 40s. I'm just, and bodies. I'm putting it out there. So.
Wow.
1 month
about
mandate.
UFOs.
Yeah. One month in our entire life
for
change.
It's just what we need right now.
Yeah. So if you could just pivot to UFO dollhouses.
If sports are a distraction for you enough, It's politics bacon. Aren't a distraction yeah. for you enough. Mm-hmm. It's we the bacon got bits. Aliens next.
Yep. Bacon bits on top of the shitty salad of 2021.
I would love to have a UFO dollhouse. I'm just saying. Fully working inside lights. Maybe water. I don't know. Well, I don't know if they even have water aliens, but we'll figure that out.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm rambling. Thank you so much, Sarah. That was so much fun.
Thank you, guys.
Talking dollhouses. So lovely. And yeah.
Anytime.
Really do appreciate it. All right. Well, we'll.
I'm gonna have to send you a picture of the next tableau I make.
Yeah,
and send
please
it
do.
To you, Sarah. Just,
I love that.
I'd like you to just take a look at the dollhouse, see what's what.
I'd hope you.
Know,
you
oh yeah, my son and I make them with Legos. Yeah, we'll make one with Legos and we'll put it up for you.
All right, ladies and gents, thanks so much for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next one. Thanks, Sarah.
Bye.
Bye.
The Adventures of Danny and Mike stars Danny Tamborelli and Michael C. Marona. The show is produced by me, Jeremy Baylor. This podcast is part of the Last Podcast Network, which can be found at lastpodcastnetwork.com. Make sure to check that out for a ton of great shows. For more information on the guys, visit our website at dannyandmike.com. Also, look us up on Twitter at Danny and Mike with the N spelled out, and on Facebook at facebook.com/theadventuresofdannyandmike. Thanks for listening.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors. You can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.
Beyond the grave.